And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
Welcome back to TTN at the Movies. TTN at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new Trending Topics Network, where you can find all kinds of great podcasts such as Tim and Tom, Rustling Chairs, and the 450 podcast. I am Mr. Fourth Row, and I'm joined by today with my co-host, the Flower Power Child herself, and that is Daisy. Daisy, how you doing?
How are you today, Mr. Fourth Row, and our other guest?
Yeah, we have a special guest, and that's Mr. Old School. Old School joining us today. Old School, how are you?
Hey, man. The proverbial fourth walls of both shows break, and we now combine into one show.
I know.
So I'm falling over to this show. It's kind of fun to hear the two hosts together for the first time.
That's cool. That's
all
cool.
All right.
All right, so what we're going to do today is we're going to review a movie that we've all seen somewhat recently, Star Wars The Last Jedi. Daisy and I saw it together last year. This year is only a month old at the time of this recording. Old School saw it, I think, a little bit later than we did. But let's go ahead and start with our special guest, Old School. Your thoughts on the movie?
Yeah, so a precursor, I got to let the fans know that I am not the hugest Star Wars fan. In particular, I'm more of a Trekkie. But, seeing that it's a big budget blockbuster, it's a Disney movie, I definitely wanted to check it out. I remember enjoying The Force Awakens and the fact that they were able to, rehash the franchise after so many years and after what a lot of fans would say the last three movies weren't that great. So it was nice to see kind of a fresh take with some old characters that we haven't seen in a while. Now, I guess if I had to give you a one sentence to start, it would be that I enjoyed it and I don't see why everybody's bitching. So that would be my opening sentence. But if you want me to break it down, I would say a couple of things that would stand out for a non, Star Wars fan. One, I do not understand the whole thing with Luke. I'm guessing we can do spoilers here.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah. Let's make it sure. So Skywalker, I don't know what the whole reason for him to be in this movie, to just bitch for 4 hours saying that, I don't want to fight, I don't want to do anything. And then he finally kind of helps Rey out and then does a Skype session against Kylo Ren. I don't understand the point of that. I thought that was kind of stupid. I guess he was going to, go and do the whole thing with, so the Force is done. And Yoda's just like, yeah, fuck it. Whatever. And then he does some Skype session, fights Kylo Ren. And then he just disappears in a ash puff. That I don't get. But apart from that, I actually like the progressing storyline. I would say the thing that stood out for me was Adam Driver's performance as Kylo Ren, being kind of torn between the two worlds, being good, being bad. Although I do have a theory, and I'd like to get your guys' opinion on that.
Yeah, or so we think that he may be torn.
See, that's where I was going with it.
Yeah. Daisy, any thoughts about the movie or what Old School is talking about?
Okay, maybe if I could precursor with Daisy to give her an idea of what my point of view is first.
Yeah.
Just to get hers. So I
yeah.
think I think it's that this whole thing is bullshit. I think the Kylo Ren, his pretending to be good is just to lure Rey in completely. I really think he's like a cookie cutter bad guy, and all of this thing had been conflicted and torn is all like in a motivation to get Rey to join the dark side.
Yeah, so I've got to agree with you on that theory, is because when we went to see it the second time with my nieces and nephews, it seemed as though it was a ploy in order to show that he is indeed on the dark side. So he shows, like, in front of her that he's quote-unquote conflicted, and I missed it. It was close to the end where they said that he had been evil the entire time, that he was just playing a trick with her. I can't remember which scene it was. I think it was after he was fighting Luke as a hologram, or how you put it, as a Skype thing.
Skype call, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's what my thought was, is because and I know, like, that we had gone originally in December, but then when I finally came down here to Orlando, we went again, and it was, once I see it a second time, it was easier to just comprehend it a little bit more as to what was going on. But no, I have to agree with you that he is truly on the bad side of things. Like, he truly is a bad guy. He was just playing a game to see if she would come over to the dark side.
Yeah. Yeah. But just to go on that whole Adam Driver thing, I think, like, his performance stood out above all the rest. Like, his acting is top-notch. I'm a huge fan of his because of this movie. Yeah, the whole, killing Supreme Leader Snoke in 3 seconds, I thought was kind of crap, and maybe that's I'm bitching too quickly, and it's all of this whole, like, friggin' ploy that is over a couple of movies, but I just thought he got killed way too easily. From what I was told, like, in the comics and stuff, this guy's like a badass. So for him to just get stabbed in 2 seconds, I don't really get. I like the fact that we see the old rehashing of, you know, this is going to be Carrie Fisher's last performance, of course. So that's sentimental, especially for the Star Wars fans. I would imagine it's the last time they're going to see her as Leia on screen. Skywalker, we're going to see in some capacity, obviously, some kind of like Yoda type ghost thing. I don't know what that's going to be. And you know, the supporting cast was good too. I would say Oscar Isaac too was good. I like Poe's character, where he just kind of doesn't take shit and he's more of a door crasher, you know. And him with his conflict with Laura Dern, she was playing the interim leader for Leia, I believe. So that kind of like the conflicting of, no, you have to like hold back and stay calm and let things ride out. And he's like, no, screw this. And then you hear them in the background, they kind of like the fact that he's a bit of a door crasher and he kind of does his own thing. So overall, I would say, as a non-Star Wars fan, I really enjoyed it. Again, my opinion, I think it's way more cookie cutter than where he's kind of playing that thing to lure her in, just like Darth Vader was luring in Skywalker. So I would say, overall, I give it probably an 8.5. As a casual fan, I enjoyed it, but I see why the diehard fans got kind of pissed off with some of the stuff.
Right. Well, you know, and something, too, we have to remember is, you know, now that it's under the Disney umbrella, it's going to be more about entertainment. And, you know, now that the original cast is, you know, of course, aging and unfortunately leaving us, that they're going to have to pass the baton on to other characters, other actors, to take the mantle of the Star Wars franchise. So, and that's when we get, like you said, with Adam Driver, John, is it Boyega? You know, that plays Finn.
Boyega.
Yeah. that plays Finn and all of them, that, you know, these are going to be our main characters, at least going forward in this third set of three.
So actually, I'd like, before we get your review, I'd like a quick question to you guys.
Sure.
Do you guys think, because, you know, we're looking back, especially the fans are looking back with rose-colored glasses from the original three.
Yeah.
Now, do you think the fact that Disney's bought this franchise and they're just going to milk the shit out of it? So we're going to see it. They want an ROI on this for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to be pumping out one a year minimum. You know, are we going to get to the point where it's just going to be watered down crap? Or do you think they can kind of keep this threshold of what the fans loved about it in the original three and kind of keep that going?
Well, I mean, to kind of like to put it in perspective, because I know on all the Disney blogs is, yeah, they're going to milk it, but at the same time is that they have to keep the actual franchise going, because in 2019, Star Wars Land opens up here down in Orlando. So, and I saw that they're bringing out one movie that's called Solo, and from my take on it, like, I've just seen the cover art, is that it's an individual story into Han Solo, because we haven't seen it. So I think that they're going to develop it a little bit more, and so that they can continue keeping that. If they're spending the amount of money that they are to build an entire land on it, I would imagine that they're going to keep trying to bring in more characters and more storylines that go that coincide with the comic books and were originally written that Marvel did and everything else. So that's my take on it. I don't know what else. Like today, well, I went to Disney Springs today, and they have one store that is, it's the Star Wars Trading Post, and then they have like two other ones within Disney Springs while they're still building the actual theme park itself for Star Wars land.
Yeah. Well, for me, when The Force Awakens came out, I saw that there was, it felt like to me that there was a lot of parallels to A New Hope. And then I also kind of felt like, oh, there's a lot of parallels again here with The Last Jedi to, you know, to Empire and stuff. It's like, well, gosh, you know, are they, do they just not have any storylines, or just, it's just the universe just is so, the Star Wars universe so just like this, that there seems to be reoccurring themes and reoccurring issues between characters. You know, I did say that when The Force Awakens came out, I felt like I was 10-year-old boy again, because I was like, it just seemed like that was it. It was just took me back. And but my big thing about is, you know, I want to be entertained, and I definitely was entertained by these last two movies. A few things though that I'm kind of concerned about is I don't mind them doing standalone movies such as, you know, Solo and the rumored Boba Fett rumored standalone movies, things like that. My only thing is that I'm really a big person about tradition. And if they are going to release Solo in the summer versus Christmas time, I just rather it be Christmas time, because you're always thinking, okay, it's Christmas time, it's time to go see the new Star Wars movie. And that's just the way I think, unless they may be putting out, you know, a standalone and then another Star Wars, you know, a Star Wars movie like they did with Rogue One, where it was, you know, a Star Wars story, I think is what they called it. So, you know, that's kind of my basic thoughts. And, you know, Disney has a lot of money. That's why they were able to buy it. You know, the Disney ESPN, ABC, etc., etc., conglomerate that they are. You know, of course, they had a lot of money, and they did it. Were able to purchase the franchise. And I mean, I don't mind it as long as I'm entertained and they don't really go too wacky with it.
Yeah, but as a, would you consider yourself more of like a passionate hardcore fan for Star Wars, or are you more of a general?
when I was younger, when I was growing up, I grew up with Star Wars, so I had the toys. Okay. and all that stuff like that, and I still have them.
So you got that nostalgia factor for you, for especially, right? Because you, yeah, as a child, that was a big thing. So now, is there something though, the pure fan in you that sees the bastardization of the franchise being the big corporate now, instead of kind of Lucas doing his original movies, you're going to see like a theme park, we're going to see spin-offs, it's going to be like nonstop Star Wars. For you, is there something that rubs you the wrong way with that, or are you okay with more content?
I'm definitely okay with more content, and it's mainly because it seemed like it's always harder for, and I'm with you. When I got in after graduating from high school, I was flipping the channels and I saw this thing called Star Trek: The Next Generation. And so I was like, what's this? And in fact, it was to name the episode, it was The Chain of Command Part 1. And so it was the very first episode I saw, and I was like, what is this? And so I'm now actually more of a Star Trek fan because I do a lot more about that. But, you know, having the, you know, the imprint as at a younger age, I'm okay with it as long as I'm entertained. Like I said, they don't go really too wacky on it. You know, I'm okay. Oh, what I was going to say is, it's always easier to go from where you originally were at forward, and then going backwards, in the case of Star Wars, where they, you know, wrote episode 1, 2 and did episode 1, 2, and 3, which of course we all know that George Lucas said, well, this is the reason why I did 4, 5, and 6 first, is because the technology that to do 1, 2, and 3 wasn't there when I originally conceived of Star Wars. And so I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. I'm like, yeah, fine. You know, and of course, 1, 2, and 3 are vilified by a lot of passionate Star Wars fans about, you know, because when you do that, you have to kind of make sure you fit everything in place and put all the pieces together to get to where you're at. And you know, that's why, for example, I liked Rogue One. I thought they did a really good job about Rogue One. Because it's like, well, you know, we knew that this is how, you know, episode 4 started. But, you know, how did they get here? So it's always a tricky, slippery slope to go backwards. And, you know, the other Star franchise, it's Star Trek, you know, they're kind of doing the same thing right now with Star Trek Discovery. And they did it with Enterprise, too. Went ahead of time, you know, ahead of the original series with Captain Kirk and everybody, and so it's always so tricky because you're gonna have everybody do the be the nitpicker and go, oh, this isn't quite right, this doesn't fit into the canon of whatever universe.
And also you're playing with people's childhoods, you're messing with that, and a lot of people can't deal with it or have a lot of trouble dealing with it. You sound like more of a progressive and you welcome change. Whereas you got a lot of people, they're used to that, you know, that 70s trilogy. And so when they see anything that differs from that, they don't like it. And that's a slippery slope. So, Daisy, what do you think about this bastardization of the fry? Can they sustain it?
You know, I think they can sustain it a little bit, but I mean, the intent, I mean, knowing how Disney is and what Walt Disney created, is that it'll go for a few years, I would say probably about 5 or 6 years, and then we'll move on to a next thing, because of the fact, like, there's a lot of stuff that's changed, and the inspiration or what Walt left was, he said that the actual brand, that it continues to evolve and change, so they will eventually move out of the Star Wars area, and then they'll probably go into something else. But that's historically, because I've seen, like, stuff that was here 20 plus years ago is no longer here or no longer part of the Disney family. So that's where my thought is it'll probably be there, like, I would say 6 years, you know, or more. But considering that historically that's what they've done, is they'll have it for a minimum, like maybe at the most 10 years, and then they'll move on to something else and change it, which is unfortunate, but, you know, they kind of, that's what they do, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's big corporate, that's what they do. So, hey, fourth row, sorry, I cut you off there. No. Let's get your review.
No, but I mean, that's what I'm saying, like, you know, it's nice, it's actually nice to see the kids down here, like, when we walk through the park, through Hollywood Studios or wherever, and these young children are just so in awe of the Star Wars and lightsabers, like, my nephew, He just turned 7, and he loves his life, his lightsabers. So to get those young children in and get them familiarized with the Star Wars franchise and be engaged and want to watch the older movies, you know, and not thinking, oh, well, this is, you know, when it first came out, this was how it was. These kids are just like ecstatic over something new and something refreshing to them. It's not, they even have the animation, the Lego part of it. So I think just to see the young kids engaged in it is a nice breath of fresh air. And I don't know if you've guys seen how the kids are, but to see all of them wearing like their Mickey Mouse ears that are actually Disney, like their droid hats with little ears on them, I think they're the cutest things. So, which I will send you some. I have to send you two some because these are so cute. There was one, my nephew's got a BB-8 one, and then there's one that you could do R2-D2, and then you have C-3PO and stuff, and then you can get a Stormtrooper pillow. And I sent a couple of pictures today. There's like Porg backpack. There was a Chewie hat that we found today. So it's like, these kids are going crazy over Star Wars. And to have the parents there with them, you know, that are our ages that grew up with Star Wars in the 80s, you know, it's nice to see the parents getting involved with the kids instead of just saying, I have no idea what that character is.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, the Porg, you know, that was just a little, that's a Disney thing right there. That's, you know, that's inserted in there so they can make a whole lot of money by selling Porg dolls, Porg backpacks, Porg Funko Pops, etc.
Like, yeah, right. But we also had the Ewoks, too. So I had an Ewok when I was a kid. So.
It makes sense. You know, you've got Disney's a money-making machine. And if they could insert some little cute little character that's going to sell hundreds of thousands of units and try to make for Lucas for that $3 billion or something for that franchise, so they definitely want to start making a bit of money back. So it makes sense. I mean, they're a marketing genius. Look what they're doing with the Marvel franchise and the Avengers movie coming up. So this, it's a no-brainer.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So yeah, fourth row. Let's get your review, Matt.
So my review, you know, after I saw it, I was like, my first thing was, this is pretty fantastic. I liked it. Like I said, my main thing is I want to be entertained for in this case, they say 2 hours and 32 minutes. So, you know, which it didn't really feel like to me. Some weird things I thought was the back and forth between Rey and Kylo, you know, when he was kind of trying to influence her to start off.
Was it just me, fourth row, was it just me or just that kind of sadistic, kind of twisted mind? I picture an SNL skit with him like kind of like beaten off and she's like in a priming and he's like, just give me a sec. I don't know, or like he's nude coming out of the showers and something like that. I always in my head I'm watching these scenes and I'm just like, imagine, you know, the guy's like pleasuring himself or something and that's the exact time that she shows up. Like, how awkward would that be?
I guess it would be pretty awkward.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna see that in a Disney film, but I just in my head, like, that's
You know, other than that, you know, I liked it. Everybody, of course, was kind of like an awe moment when Chewie was getting ready to eat one of the Porgs, you know, and they sad eyes.
Yeah, I thought that's hilarious.
You know, Chewie's got to do what he's got to do, though. Sometimes, you know, it was kind of it was a little sad, you know, in a way. You know, speaking of Chewie, that, you know, we knew that Han wasn't around, you know, in the movie. Of course, we, you know, everybody knew. Of course, you know, before the movie was released, you know, of course we lost Carrie Fisher, you know, of course that was sad, you know, of course we actually had lost her before Rogue One was even released. So, 2 years ago now. Of course, that was sad seeing her. But I did like the final battle between Skywalker and Kylo, that it was like, and I didn't see what a lot of people were talking about, where he wasn't making, you know, indentions into the ground in the end. And so I was like, I have to go re-see that, go watch it again and see that. But I immediately caught, though, when he ran him through with the lightsaber and like nothing really happened, and it was like, he's not there. But then I was like, well, he was just in the cave with everybody, and it seemed like he was there, so what's up with this? You know, the hurricane would say, what's up with that? You know? my thing was, I want to be entertained, and I felt like I was entertained, and I don't try to be too critical when I'm actually there, unless something is just like totally off the wall. So, you know, if I gave it a rating, I would probably give it like an 8, 8.5. I mean, I was definitely entertained by it. Daisy, you have any further thoughts about the movie?
Yeah. So I thought it was kind of cool. When it was like towards that last battle was, the guy like walks out, that sergeant, he walks out, and it's like it looked like snow or something, and then the guy, like, I thought the guy was bleeding, and then they're like, oh, it's salt, and I was like, oh my gosh, I thought the guy was like hurt or something, where it's all that red stuff on the salt planet. So that was my aha moment. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool that it was this giant salt ball. And then to actually see Rey be able to help everyone get out of the cave itself, to escape with her levitating the rocks and stuff without that much training from Luke. So, I mean, overall, like, my review is, I would say probably along with you guys is an 8.5, because it is entertaining. There's a couple misses that kind of got a little dry, which was, like you said, the Skyping between Rey and, what is that guy's name?
Kylo.
Kylo.
Kylo Ren.
Yeah,
Kylo Ren. I'm just like, I just escaped me. You know, I think that was kind of a dry moment. I am amazed that my nephew, who is 7 and is high-functioning autistic, that he actually sat through that entire movie of 2 hours and 32 minutes. And he was normally he would not sit still or anything. He would just be not able to take it. He was able to sit through the entire movie. So that's my take on it. I think, you know, for him to be just sitting still, I was like, wow, that's amazing. And he didn't have to move or anything. And it wasn't, you know, very loud or anything. So I think
historically, he can't sit there through movies.
Right. Historically, we would have to take multiple breaks, or we have to go because of the autism spectrum is the too much noise or too much flashing, too much is sensory overload for him. So, and he did the whole movie without having to get up or move or anything. So,
wow.
Yeah.
But Daisy, Daisy, didn't you tell me that he's been kind of, Star Wars has been kind of pushed on him, he kind of enjoys Star Wars, so he like kind of knows some of the characters and things like that, you know, life, so he may have, you know, been like, oh, these are like people and things that I know.
Yeah, so I mean, and that's a thing, but usually we get kind of nervous taking him to a movie theater, right. So the Disney Springs AMC movie theater is very large. They have reclining seats, but it's assigned seating, but it's a huge theater. So there's a lot of walking. It's stadium seating through the entire thing, but it's a lot bigger than when we've gone out in Denver. So I think usually it's the crowds, it's the noise, and because it was right before New Year's, it was very packed, but he did really good for that 2.5 hours not having us to leave or having us find something else for him to do out in the lobby. So, yeah.
That's good. It's good to hear.
Yeah. I was like, we were kind of nervous taking him, but he really wanted to see it. And I was like, oh, okay. So, yeah. So, I mean, and of course, for Christmas, he got his own lightsaber. So he showed me how to build your own lightsaber today, that there's a store where you could make your own.
Oh, great. So anybody else have anything else to say about the movie before we have an email in to the show, and if you guys are up to it, I'd like to propose the email to Baltia and get your thoughts.
Yeah, let's go for it. I think we pretty much talked Star Wars to death.
I think we covered everything.
All right.
We've covered everything, you know, consensus, even on your end as a passionate fan that, you know, there were a couple of small holes, but you really enjoyed it. So that's good.
Yeah. All right. So we have an email in to us. And if the listeners, you want to email into us, you can. The email is TTNmovies, that's plural. So Trending Topics Network, movies, plural, @gmail.com. And the email comes in to my co-hosts from the other podcast I go, and that's What's on Fight. That's Finn Fish. He emails in, and the email is, if they made a movie about your life, what story would you like them to focus on the most, and who would play you? Old school. You have any thoughts about that?
Are you guys familiar with the tech TV celebrity Leo Laporte?
Yes. Twitch.
Yeah.
So he could easily play an older me, because we have the same kind of hairstyle and look. And I picture myself in like 30 years to look like that guy.
Okay.
A younger me is a good question. I don't know. I mean, at my biggest, like, I could totally been like Louis Anderson, but when I was like 400, so I could have totally, he could have played me. I'm trying to think now. It's a good question. I mean, I'd probably be a little full of myself if I said I resemble a young Matt Damon, but so that's not going to happen. You know what? I have no idea. I would have to look and think about it. But if I had to think about a storyline, it would probably be what I'm doing now, just about my weight loss journey. And I think that would be the most interesting thing. Because me sitting in front of a computer for 8 hours resetting passwords, I don't think we're getting a lot of viewers with that.
Oh, it'll be like Office Space 2. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. I just break less shit.
Yeah.
Daisy?
Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, honestly, I think Selena would be, like, Selena Gomez would be really good to play me, but I would love to see her, like, enlist in the Navy and go through boot camp. I'm sorry. But I think that would be, if she wanted to play a part in my life, I think that would be a really fun one to watch her go through, like, the horrors of it in Great Lakes, Chicago. So.
Interesting.
But that's me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not sure who... you know, of course, I've been sitting on this email for a little while, but, you know, and I've been thinking, I'm not sure who would play me, but the story I would, and this is going to be kind of, may not even be a good movie, but the story that I would be is, mine's going to be a little more cerebral, and that is that throughout my life, I haven't been too bad of a vocal person expressing my opinions and stuff like that. But I've gotten, with the podcast, been able to feel like my public speaking has gotten a little bit better and that kind of stuff. So my story would be more of, you know, I want you to just like know what I'm thinking and stuff like that. So kind of more like a ESP reading mind kind of story, kind of thing like that, maybe science fiction-ish, you know, kind of weird plot line thing like that. So, but you know, who would play it? I'm just not real sure. You know, it'd have to be somebody that can play like that. Maybe Cumberbatch, maybe something like that. Maybe he could pull off something like that. I don't know.
Oh, aiming high, I see. Benedict Cumberbatch. Wow.
Going back to you, of course, he was in one of the Star Trek movies, but so, you know, swinging it all back to Star Trek again. But, yeah, so who knows?
So yeah, is it just me, or it seems like podcasting attracts a lot of introverts?
Very possible.
I don't know. Like I don't know. I think I'm more of an extrovert. Like originally I was an introvert until I went to college. So then they made me be an extrovert. So.
Okay. So it wasn't by choice.
No, it wasn't by choice. And then when I like started working in sales, like that's just started. I'm like, oh, it's a given. I have to actually talk to people. So
there you go. Like,
all right, well, good. Thank you both for your answer to Finn's question. And Finn, thank you for emailing in. I really greatly appreciate it. I think that's all we have to talk about here. But before we go, Old School, if they want to check out some of your other podcasts and contact you, how would they do that?
Yeah, so first of all, shout out to you guys for reviewing a movie past 1993.
Okay.
I think that's kind of cool. You guys are back up to date. It's good to get the retro reviews, too. I think it's good. The movies, same concept, but we just swear a lot more. And these guys are a little more PG, so for the young ones, it's probably better to listen to these guys than my show. I've recently made a podcast called 450. It can be found on this network. Also, 450podcast.com. It's really a show where I'm just letting loose and opening up to the world about my weight loss. As of this recording, I've lost 134 pounds in 9 months. I've got another 96 to go, but I'm really headstrong. I'm motivated. I'm ready to go, and I'm focused. And if you want to follow that journey with me, please do at 450podcast.com.
All right. And Daisy, have we got you on the social media circus yet?
No.
Not really. She's
not really. Yeah. Oh my goodness gracious. Yeah.
Don't kick yourself. We do a beard podcast, and we have a guy who doesn't have his Twitter yet either, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have Twitter, but a lot of it is just more like following a lot of work related stuff. So I guess I have to like kinda fix that. I know like we've been talking about it, but I'm like, yeah, that's not happening. So
yeah, well, the best thing to do is probably just do it with the show's podcast. And on Twitter, it's TTNATM, so stands for Trending Topics Network at the Movies. That would be the easiest thing. And once again, if you want to email, TTNMovies@gmail.com. So, all right. And that's the same thing for me. If you want to contact me on Twitter, it's Mr. M-I-S-T-E-R, put a 4-T-H in the middle, end it with R-O-W. And Daisy, Old School, thank you for coming on the show. And we'll maybe have to do this again, or maybe we'll go on Old School's podcast.
Sounds good.
All right. Sounds awesome.
All right. Oh, thank you all for listening, listeners, and we'll see you at the movies.
When I found you,
Sparks kept me going.
I saw raw, untamed power. And beyond that, something truly special.
So, raw, untamed power isn't special?
Nah, I see it everywhere these days. It's played out.
Pork sausage for tea?
This didn't come with a hand attached by any chance. The Terminator here chafes like a son of a bitch.
Something inside me has always been there. Can't say the Jedi Temple Library offers a broad selection, but now it's awake, and I need help.
Nothing's jumped out of an egg and face-hugged you, has it? A for effort, Z for results. You didn't even touch the rock that time.
I'm sorry, Master, I'm trying.
There is no try. There's do and there's epic suckage. Guess what camp you fall into? You break it, you bought it.
Master, the pebbles.
Pebbles, try lifting an X-Wing. I've seen this raw strength only once before. In a mosquito. R2, I left you in charge and now I notice the school's on fire. Something you want to confess?
What's the largest thing you've ever lifted, Master?
I force benched a good 50 kilos in my prime.
How much does the Millennium Falcon weigh?
It's not a competition, Ray.
It does look like a duck. Kill the past if you have to. It's the only way to become what you were meant to be. A self-made orphan. I can't do it.
Fire. That's for Han, you little emo bastard. Now clean up that debris.
I resent that, Shubakar. I was not put into this film to sell toys to children. Wait, what's this on the console? Tickle me Porg! Oh, and look, it comes in pink! These don't belong here. But I sure hope my parents buy me something like this for Christmas. I should probably go ask them.
We are the flint that'll strike the spark, that'll ignite the tinder, that'll start the fire, that'll burn partway through a detachment of the First Order.
Is it even worth it?
Not at all.
Shimon! I'm going to seriously mess you up for throwing me in that trash compactor. You see this? I'm still finding things.
This is not going to go.
Come on, guys. Don't be afraid of me because I'm different.
The way you think.
I think the bad guys will win this round, but good will ultimately triumph by the end of the third movie.
Okay, then. It's going to go exactly the way you think. Did you find my contact lens?
Not yet.
Well, until you do, you'll never be a Jedi.
Fulfill.
Hello, Empire Accident Assist. The planet that bleeds. Yes, I'll hold.
Destiny.
Oh, Snoke. You are absolutely amazing at giving a full body force massage.
You do know I'm trying to kill you, right?
Well, whatever you're doing, don't stop. I need someone to show me my place in all this.
Once you've had Darkseid, you won't go back.
I don't believe it. Another one of my students turning to the dark side. You are expelled, young lady. Don't even think about returning to my island paradise next semester.
Yo, uncle, I'm working something here. Quit force blocking me, man.
I don't understand it. I followed the curriculum to a T. What am I doing wrong?
You want the long answer?
Or the short one?
Oh, not you guys. Where's my dad?
Oh, he couldn't decide which actor to come as.
Okay, look, I haven't turned all the way. I'm at like 90 degrees or so. Some days I'm light, some days I'm dark. I'm not just one thing, Master. I'm a multifaceted individual with many sides and many shades.
Whew, that's dark side talk.
You got that right.
It's time for the Jedi to end.
Master, look, I know there's a ledge there. I've seen it from the outside.
Ray, I'm too scared to jump and I'm too embarrassed to come back inside while you're standing there, so...
Oh, I'll just step out then, shall I?
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. Thanks. Okay, Ray, clue me in. What is so gosh darn appealing about the dark side?
Well, you do get to wear a lot of black, which is always flattering. I don't know if you've seen me in black, but damn!
Okay, yes, I too look amazing in black. But is that all there is?
You don't have to control your temper. It's good to let off a bit of steam every now and then.
Well, there's nothing unhealthy about burying one's anger deep down inside.
And there's always something to do when you're on the dark side. Always lots of things going on, lots of people around. You really feel like you're part of a well-structured community. Whereas Jedi life? No offense, but what have you been doing on this island all by yourself?
Farming porgs, mainly. I'm a bit of an amateur porg shepherd. A scruffy-looking porg herder, if you will. Oh, they're fascinating creatures. I study them as well, like Charles Darwin and the Galapagos finches. Sometimes I stay up all night watching hours of porg. Mostly softcore.
Don't take this the wrong way, Master, but you don't exactly live up to the hype. It's been a mite underwhelming.
You only say that because you've never seen a porgy up close. That's what they call a group of porgs. A porgy of porgs. You know what they call a baby porg? A porgasm.
That's it. I've turned full 180 dark side now.